sing together 36, Hungry and Faint. 36 in your hymn book. So prayer that's in song that expresses our great need of the Lord, and that's where I feel right now, great need of the Lord's blessing. I pray that He'll just supply just what this prayer asks for to us here tonight as we gather in His name. And we're here to worship the Lord and give Him honor and praise and glory, and we need Him so much. And we don't want to forget that, that if the Lord does not bless us, the Lord doesn't supply what we need, we just will go away just as this hymn writer says, hungry and faint. Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again, assembled at Thy mercy's door. Thy bounty to obtain, Thy word invites us nigh. Oh, we must starve to buy, no righteousness to plead. The food our spirits want, Thy hand alone can. That we may eat and live. We're gathered at mercy's door. We don't come tonight expecting what we deserve, thank the Lord. But we come begging for God's grace and mercy to be showered on us once again, that we might lift up our voices in praise to the Lord, and our hearts might be drawn closer to Him, and that we would leave tonight with our hearts restored and our walk and our talk and our behavior to be more like what He would have us to be in this world. And without the Lord, we don't have a thing. I don't think ever in my efforts to stand before the Lord's people, and I don't say this lightly because I say it often, but I really sincerely mean it tonight. I feel so much in need of your prayers. Today we was greatly blessed at Union Church to hear Brother John preach, and I enjoyed his preaching so very much and wanted him to continue on, and he did, and the Lord truly blessed him. And had a few thoughts at the end of that that I tried to share with the congregation and felt the Lord in it for a little while. And seemingly felt like, okay, things are going to be all right today. I'm feeling just close to the Lord. And then this afternoon, it seems like I've gone through such a dark time and a cold time. And it's not just the dark outside or the weather outside, and I know that can have an effect on us, but it's just that I seem to battle and struggle with the study of God's Word and trying to get my hands and minds and thought on what I should come before the Lord's people tonight. And I've had some thoughts, But just hungry and faint and poor is where I feel tonight. You know, the writer of that hymn also wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He also wrote how tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. There are sometimes we feel so high up on the mountain we think we're never going to come down. And there are sometimes we feel so low we wonder if we're ever going to be lifted up again. And tonight I just feel great need of the Lord to reach down where I am and supply for a little while just what you need tonight as God's little children that have gathered to meet and to worship the Lord. That we might be fed. Listen, we need to eat and to live. And if He doesn't provide the food, we won't have it. And yet if He does provide the food, we'll have all that we need. He gives us the appetite as well as the food. He's the one who supplies it all. The Lord is my shepherd. And we can look to Him as such tonight. So we have a mighty God to look to. You just pray for me as we look together at a passage of Scripture that's been on my mind. I sat down and I read it and I've studied it and I've looked at it. And I just need the Lord in order to be able to share any bit of it with you. And I recognize that tonight. May just read it in your hearing. We've already sung the truth. We've already had fellowship and prayed and looked to the Lord. A sweet prayer that's been offered, and thank the Lord for that. And I feel that the Lord was in all of that. And it's been good tonight just to gather, to hug your necks, and to feel the sweet fellowship of the Lord's people. What a place the Lord's provided for us in His church, in the kingdom of God that He's given us here in this world. And just think for a minute what your life would be like tonight if you did not know about it, if you did not have it. You know, all the things that cause us to grieve would still be in our lives, but we'd have no joy, we'd have no rest, we'd have no truth to rest upon. We'd still have all the problems, but we'd have no answers. We'd still have all the troubles, but we'd have nothing, no one to really look to. Where could we go but to the Lord tonight? But we look to Him who has the power to supply what we need. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him," that is Jesus, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." I don't know that I may just end up reading this in your hearing like I have and not saying a lot about it, but I just pray the Lord would give us what we need. This certain lawyer is like so many in the world today who believe that salvation is attained or gained or merited by man getting righteous, good enough, doing enough, keeping a law, whatever the the happens to be the law that that person is looking to. They're trusting in that as the source of their righteousness that causes them to be in communion and in fellowship and relationship with the Lord. This certain lawyer, he stood up and he tempted him. He came to Jesus, as the scripture tells us here, not to really get an answer, but to try to catch Jesus in some circumstance or some situation where he would go against the law of God. What a silly thing it is for man to think that he could fool Jesus in any way whatsoever. You see, the one he was talking to wasn't just the Son of Man. Though he was the Son of Man, he was the Son of David. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Judea. He was the son of Mary, who was of the seed and the family of David. Joseph was his supposed father. He wasn't really his father. He was his supposed father. And often they said, is this not Jesus, the carpenter's son? But he was much more than just that. He was not only the Son of Man, which he really was. And he really had to be. He had to be the Son of Man because he came to pay a sin debt for man. And because a man had sinned, it was the payment and the sin debt had to be not the blood, or not the death of an angel, but it had to be a man that died. And it was the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wasn't just that, was he? No, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word was none other than Jesus Christ, God made manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. That's who this man had come to try to tempt. Not only Jesus, the Son of Mary, but Jesus, the Son of God. And in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had all knowledge. He had all wisdom. As a matter of fact, all wisdom, all knowledge is in Him even tonight. If we're going to get anything or know anything, it'll have to come from Him as our Lord. And this man tempted Jesus, came to tempt Him. Now, He tempted Him in this sense. He didn't cause Him like you and I get tempted, but He presented Him with something to try to get Him to mess up. But no way that our Savior was going to mess up, because He was perfect in every way and shape and form. He said unto Him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He thought He could earn or do something in order to get the inheritance of eternal life. We know about inheritances. You don't just get them by doing something. In order to get the inheritance from someone, you've got to be a member of the family. You've got to get into the family. In order to get the inheritance of eternal life, you have to be in Christ. And in order to get in Christ, it's not something you do. If there's not something you can do to get into Christ, we have to be chosen in Him even before the foundation of the world. Those that are in Christ are first chosen in Him, and then in time they're created in Him, they're made new creatures, they're born of the Spirit, they're born into His family. Tonight I believe we are part of the family of God, not because we did something to get into it, but because we've been adopted into the family. We read over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where he talks about that spirit of adoption. He says this about sons. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God would be in the inheritance. Now, how is it that we're led by the Spirit of God? If the Lord has not born us of His Spirit, we have no Spirit in us that leads us or guides us. We have to be born of the Spirit. It says, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Tonight we cried unto the Lord, and we cried unto him as our Father, Abba, Father. It's almost like the word Daddy, Father. It's a closeness in the relationship that we have with the Lord. It's a wonderful thing tonight that we can cry at mercy's door and cry to our Father as Abba, Father. And the reason that we can cry unto Him is because He's opened up that door and that way of access. And He's given us the Spirit in our hearts. We've been born of the Spirit and made to know that God is. That's why we cry unto Him. He's given us faith to be able to believe that He is. This man had come to Jesus saying, "What can I do to get righteous enough and good enough?" And as a matter of fact, he thought he had pretty well done it. He's kind of like that young rich ruler that I believe we heard about yesterday. Brother John again talked about that young rich ruler that came to Jesus and said, "Master, what good thing, good master, what good things can I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And this question was given here. He was asking it, I believe, sincerely because I feel like he really desired it and he really wanted it, but he wanted to be sure of it. Isn't that a major question in our minds? Even when the Lord has worked in our hearts and in our lives, don't we want to be sure that we're His? Don't we want to feel that assurance? Listen, if you've been led by the Spirit of God, and I said to you tonight, if you're here, what else led you here but the Spirit of God? If you've sung the hymns that we sang tonight, what else led you to sing them but the Spirit of God? If we're reading together tonight from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, what is it that's causing us to want to know more about what the Lord's told us in His Word but the Spirit of God? And if the Spirit of God has led us, that gives evidence that we're born of God, because by nature we would not have any desire for these things whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they would be foolishness unto us unless the Lord had opened our eyes and our ears and our hearts to be able to understand them at least to some degree. I've enjoyed the singing tonight. I feel like I'm laboring in the preaching, but I enjoyed the singing. And that's a blessing to be able to come. You know, it's sad when we come and it's a cold, dry service when we're singing. If we're lifting up our voice and praise, praising God for His grace and His mercy, may we say our hallelujahs with everything that's in our hearts, that we're praising God and realize, yes, I'm hungry and faint and poor, but the Lord is the one who can lift me up. And it's only the Lord who can lift me up. He's the only one who can supply just what we need. Otherwise, we're just going to go through the motions. And that's a sad thing. When God's little children gather and we just go through the motions of a worship service without having our whole heart and our whole mind involved in it. And the only way we can do that is by the leadership of the Spirit, which indwells you because you've been adopted into the family of God. And you have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, not because you got into the family on your own. You are His children. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So tonight, if you have a love of God in your heart, it's because He quickened you. He came to you. If you have a belief in Him, it's because He gave you faith. If you love Him tonight, it's because He loved you. And if you have love and faith, they are fruit of the Spirit. And if there's a measure of peace in your heart tonight, there's a measure of peace in hearing that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news to know that He does not condemn us tonight? Though we would be worthy and deserving of His condemnation to the nth degree, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know why? Because Jesus Christ in His own body took our condemnation. In His own body, He bore our sins on the tree of the cross. And who did He do that for? He did that for His family that He loved even before the foundation of the world. And He foreknew them. He chose them. And He came and died for them and justified them, washing them in His own shed blood, removing that sin debt from us as far as the east is from the west. There's no man that can get himself good enough to get into that fellowship. There's not many doors to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. There's not many truths tonight. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the door. He is that ladder that come from heaven to earth. That the angels are ascending and descending upon. He is the source of every good thing. He is that river that flows from the throne of God, out of which all the blessings flow to us. And if we have a single blessing here tonight, any wisdom, anything at all that's good and right, it's come from Him. It's not because we did something to get into the inheritance. But Jesus here, the gentle shepherd that He is, the loving shepherd that He is, look to this man, and as he asked that question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Some would question whether this man was, who was this man? I don't know all about who this man was, but I know this, the Lord knows all about him. He knows about you and me tonight too. He knows what's going on in me. He don't need me getting up here trying to act like something isn't going on and I'm not having any trouble and those kind of things. The Lord already knows that. What does that mean? That means tonight we come naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. We come and we lay it all at His feet. We cry out, hungry and faint and poor. Behold us, Lord, again, assembled at mercy's door, thou bounty to obtain. And thy mercy is what caused me to want to come. And it's thy grace that will sustain me and feed me. And that's what I have to look to tonight. And the Lord who we're looking to tonight, has He ever failed us? Has He been with you in the past? You know, I saw the little sisters tonight crying and there was some weeping and going on. But aren't you thankful you got the Lord to help you when you're weeping? Aren't you thankful that you have the Lord to know that when our loved ones have left this world, they're with Him in glory. Not because they got into the inheritance, because there was a heritage preserved for them, awaiting for them, that's anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. And it's not because they got everything right, because we know them well enough that if it was left up to them or left up to us, we'd all come short of it. Would we not? I'm glad tonight that salvation isn't in Jesus and me. I'm thankful tonight it's not in Jesus and you. I'm thankful it's not in any preacher. I'm thankful it's not in any church organization, but I'm thankful it's in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work, and the work is finished, and He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for His people, and it's done by His grace and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. And yet Jesus gave him a law to keep, didn't He? Somebody said, well, He just gave him one law. No, He didn't really give it to him. He said, let him have it. He was probably wearing it, if you really want to know the truth, on the little phylactery that was in the center of his forehead, which was the way they were told in Deuteronomy 6, how they were to wear the scripture, and they did wear that scripture, but they wore it, unfortunately, not so that they do it better as that was given, but that others might see them and say, look, that's a religious man, a holy man, a righteous man, look how holy, religious, and righteous he is. He's even wearing the scripture on his forehead and on his arm and on the hem of his garment. The scripture that says what? To love the Lord. Listen what he told him to do. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is there any one of us tonight who would even dare be so bold to say we've kept that law? No, I tell you, I want to love Him more, don't you? The hymn writer says, I want to love Him more. I do. I love the way that it's put there. I want to be more what He would have me to be. I want to love Him more. I love Him. I believe I love Him. And if I love Him, why do I love Him? Why do I love Him? What does the scripture say? We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. But he's saying here, this is what the law says, and it tells us this in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, not with half your heart, but with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, just do that, and you'll be able to go to heaven. You know what he's really saying? It's impossible for you and I to do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with this law. This law was given by Almighty God. It's a spiritual law. It was given by inspiration of God. It was given, we read it in the Old Testament, and which is part of God's inspired word. And there's nothing wrong with the law. The law was not insufficient in itself. But the law was insufficient in the sense that we were not able to keep the law because of the state and the mess that we were in as a result of the fall of man, even in the very beginning. Adam was given that law to keep, and he didn't keep that law. He said, of all the fruit of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. And Eve ate and then gave to Adam, and he ate, and then Adam fell. He didn't fall into a sickness. He fell into a state of death in trespasses and in sins, and that state keeps us incapable of being able to keep the law. And that's why we're reading over in Romans chapter 3, he said in verse 19 of Romans 3, he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. And the reason that the law was given wasn't to give us life. Now the reason that the law was given is that we might understand how sinful sin is, and we might see that. The reason that the law was given, he says, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, this man didn't feel like he was guilty. But he was just about to find out. He goes on and he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. So what's my duty tonight before God? What would be my duty in order to be righteous before God based on my own self? I would have to love, as he says here, the Lord with all my heart, and I love him with all my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind. And then I'm to love my neighbor as thyself. And this old Jew heard that and said, well, that just simply means I just have to love other Jews who are like me, who look like me, talk like me, believe like me. They are my neighbors, and everyone else, that's what they believe, are really not in that. So I'm not required to do that. And Jesus knew all about him. And he tried to get Jesus to slip up. And this old lawyer, who no doubt knew the law, had studied it, he was a scribe, had written it probably over and over, who was probably wearing part of that on his forehead, could quote it upside one side, down the other, and yet he knew the letter of the law, didn't he? But he didn't understand the spirit of the law. Brethren, when you find someone who thinks, I've just gotten good enough, I've done something good enough in order to get to heaven because I did this enough, I believed enough, I trusted enough, I was baptized just right, I did this, I united with this church, I did this, and they're trusting in that. They don't understand how sinful sin is and how we are all so entrapped in it. They are really like the one he pointed out here who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. The fall of man was a big fall. We were left robbed. We were left dead. This scripture says he was half dead. We were completely dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We may have been alive in the sense that in a fleshly way we were living, but we were in our very carnal mind that's enmity against God. We did not love the things of God. We would not choose the things of God. We could not choose them. And if it was left up to us to fix all of that, there would be no hope for you or for me. I say to you tonight, thank the Lord for a good Samaritan. And that good Samaritan really is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he wasn't a Samaritan. He was a Jew. But the Jews looked at him just like he was a Samaritan, did they not? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own people, And he was despised and rejected of men. What does it said tell us over in Isaiah 53 about this wonderful Savior? He is despised. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53 says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. That is even the Lord's own people for whom He died. Brethren, if God's grace had not worked in us a love for Him, if God's grace had not worked in us a faith to be able to believe in Him, if God's grace had not given us a want to come unto Him, no man, He said, can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And it takes the Lord to work that first work in our lives. Those that did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That is in a manifest sense. Which were born, not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but of God. Which tells us that birth didn't come because we chose to be born. That birth came by God's grace. And you were born into that inheritance. And you've been adopted into that inheritance. Isn't it good to know we have an inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, that faded not away, reserved in heaven for us, because there's a Savior seated on the right hand of the Father right now, in heaven making intercession, and because He is there, we are as good as there, though time has to pass for us to get there. It's going to happen. And He's not going to miss one of His children. Not a one of them. Despite what they might do. Because He was able to come where they were, and He had what they needed. Even though they had fallen in such a bad state. He wasn't like the law. The law is pictured in the first two that come through here. The law just pointed out what a mess he was in. They just looked at him, saw the mess that he was in, and left him right there. When I go to the law for my answers, and I try to keep a law, and I try to follow the law in order to be righteous before God, you know how much help that does me? Not a bit. It's just like these. It just walks right past me, and it doesn't help me. There are many of God's children tonight that belong to Him that are going to be in heaven, that are trusting in that kind of law, and they have no real true peace. I hope tonight you have true rest and peace, because you're not trusting in the law. You're trusting in the One who kept the law to a jot and to a tittle and became your obedience, became your righteousness. And that doesn't mean I don't want to live right and act right and behave right. As a matter of fact, that work of grace in us by His hand causes us to want to follow Him more and prepares us to be able to keep to walk in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. That's how He leads us in that way. And the only way you and I can do one single good work is by His grace. You know, if I do something that's so supposedly good and I think that's getting me right with God, it's not good anymore. If I do something that thinks, well, that's preparing me so that I'll be able to go to heaven. I've done this, I've done that. That's my ticket. Then my trust is no longer in the Lamb of God and what He did for me, but my trust is in myself. And I am no better than this man who came to try to tell Jesus how just he was. He was willing to justify himself. I hope none of us tonight are willing to justify ourselves and say, God, I think I'm good enough. I think I've done enough. And the world is teaching, even in a false doctrine, that this is what you ought to do. You want to be that sure, that you've done everything that you need to do. And rather than giving God's little children peace, it causes them heartache, and it puts a burden upon them. And they are like that man that's really still in the ditch to some extent who needs help out of that. Thanks be to God, there was a good Samaritan that came all the way to where we were and had just what we needed and even had a place for us to go. Tonight, I believe you and I are sitting at the inn. I believe Jesus has brought us here. The reason we got here is He put us on the donkey and brought us here. He carried us here. We didn't come here on our own. We didn't just choose this on our own. He's led us by His grace to His banqueting house, and His banner over us is love. Thanks be to God. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right to the man. This do and thou shalt live. Somebody reading that quickly would say, well, didn't Jesus said he was just right? What Jesus is saying, if you can do that, old buddy, that'll do it. If you can do that. You know who could do that? You know the only one who kept this law? You know the only one who kept it the way that it needed to be kept? The law was spiritual. Jesus proved it because he kept that law. And his righteousness is the righteousness you and I need for heaven. And he was the only one who kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. He's the only one who dotted every I and crossed every T. He's the only one that was able to fulfill the law and even abolish it, put it away, because it's finished. And you and I, thanks be to God, are no longer under that law. Now, does that mean the moral law of God's no good? No, the moral law of God is there. It's a guide for you and I. It's direction for you and I. The Ten Commandments are just as much commandments tonight as they ever were. He didn't abolish that. He put away the ceremonial law, but he didn't abolish the Ten Commandments. But they were never given that you and I would be good enough to get to heaven by them. It was the only, because we could not keep it, we would not keep it, but Jesus kept it. He's the only man who kept it. And he kept every part of it. You know who loved the Lord with all his heart? The Son loved the Father with all his heart. And he looked to him as the mediator that stands between us and God. He looked unto him as the perfect man who loved the Lord, his God, with all his heart. And he never wavered from that one degree. And what he accomplished and merited for us, he's given to us. Freely given. That's why there is therefore now no condemnation. And the only reason anybody walks in anything other than the flesh. The only reason y'all are here tonight. The only reason you desire to sing. If you truly are here tonight to sing praises unto God, the only reason that you're here is because Jesus loved you enough that he died for you and he gave you that burden in your heart and that hunger and that thirst. He made you alive. And that work of grace that's done in you is a complete work and a wonderful work. And one day he's going to finish all of that and we're going to be with him body, soul, and spirit. That's why we sorrow, but not like those who have no hope. We have hope in the Savior, who was the one who came right on the side of the road with the one who needed all that he needed. He taught so many lessons as he taught this man about what he ought to do. And one of the main lessons, we don't want to miss that, is how we ought to treat one another. Who is our neighbor? Listen, we don't know God, who God's children are. We don't know who is what. We don't know, you know, we may be looking at someone we think could not be a child of God, and the Lord has not yet worked a work of grace in their heart. Or they might be in the flesh. Sometimes if they looked at me on a certain day, at a certain time, at a certain moment, they may not see the evidence too much. That would not be the case. I'm just saying to you, that is the case with us. And he's telling us that we are to follow him and his example. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained, that is prepared, that we should walk in them. So this is not a licentious doctrine that says live any way you want. If you're Jesus, it's going to be okay and you're going home to glory. No, it is true that if you belong to him, you're going home to glory. But because of that, how ought we to live? How ought we to love one another? How has he loved us? That's how I'm to love you. How has he loved you? That's how you're to love me. That's how we're to operate. How has the Lord forgiven me? That's how I'm to forgive my brother. That's how I'm to look and remember how great things the Lord has done and follow his example. He willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Sounds like he's got a conscience problem to me, doesn't he? He may be like me. Every once in a while we'll have a little odds with a neighbor. You know, you might pop up and who is my neighbor? Do I have to call that person my neighbor? They don't look like me. They don't believe like me. They're not old Baptists like me. They're something else. Who is my neighbor? Listen, you never know when you're dealing with a little child of grace. You know what the Bible tells us? They're as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. They're out of every nation, they're out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every family, out of every tribe. That's a lot. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And though there's just a few that understand and embrace the truth in a real way, there are still God's children out there that we're to act and live in a way that we can help them along the way to be just like Jesus was to us, where He came, where we were and helped us. We're to be there to help them, to show mercy. He said, what did He say? Go and do thou likewise. That's a pretty plain statement, isn't it? In other words, as this Samaritan did, this is what we're to do here in this world. Do you think that meant that's how he got into the inheritance? No. It's what those who are in the inheritance ought to be about. It's what we ought to be doing to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. I want to get through this quickly. I've been here longer than I thought already. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This man was in a mess. First of all, whenever you leave the city of worship, Jerusalem, and you go down to Jericho, you can expect a mess. It's a downhill trip. It's a trip where you're going to most probably fall among thieves. And in the fall of man, he certainly fell into a state of death in trespasses and in sin. And certainly that's pictured here. And he said, by chance there came down a certain priest that way. He didn't come on purpose. He came along the way just because that's the way he was going. And when he saw him, notice how loving and merciful and kind he was. He saw him, but what did he do? He passed by on the other side. That's what the law will do for you. That's a benefit you get out of the law. The law, when you go to the law for help, it's not going to make you better. It's just going to make you sick. Has the law made you sick? And there's not anything wrong with the law, but I'm telling you, the law just says, whoever sins dies. And that means I have sinned, and therefore I am under the condemnation that's there. It's grace that tells me there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He says, there was a Levite, and when he looked at, and there was the priest, and then there was a Levite. Both of these, I think, picturing the law. And likewise, a Levite, when he saw, he was at the place. He came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and I believe this pictures our Lord. Not that he was a Samaritan, he was a Jew, but he was thought of in that same way. They thought of them as not worth their time. They were certainly not their neighbor. They were about to learn that. They didn't see Jesus as the friend of sinners that he truly was. And neither would we tonight if it were not for the grace of God. As he journeyed, he came, listen, he came where he was. What did Jesus do for us? He came where we were, did he not? He came here into this world. And when he saw him, he saw him. When did he see us? Even before the foundation of the world, he saw us. And hey, how did he look upon us? He had compassion on us, did he not? Is it not his love? He foreknew us, which means we were embraced in his love. And then he went to him. In time he comes to us, and he bound up his wounds. That which was broken, he bound up. Has he not come to us and bound up our wounds? And has he not poured in his oil of grace and his wine, the precious blood that washes us whiter than snow, the cleansing effect of the new birth and what he's done for us? Can we not see it here? And he says, and he brought him to an end. And that's where I feel like we are tonight. He's brought us to an end. We're not out of this world. We're still in this world. We're still in trouble. But I'm telling you, we have been given a wonderful place in the Lord's church. A place at the end where you get some sleep and you get some rest and you get some nourishment. That's what we have in the Lord's church and in the Lord's kingdom. And he said, he brought him to the end and took care of him. Who took care of him? The Samaritan took care of him. Jesus takes care of him. And even if it's the minister doing or the brethren or the sisters that help you along the way, in as much as you've done it unto the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto him. And it's he who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So all the glory tonight belongs to who? It belongs to the Lord. God forbid that we should glory but in the Lord. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I believe we're seeing the blessings that we find in the Lord's church that are given unto the ministers. As Brother John preached today, he was sharing with me the things that the Lord gave him that helped me and fed me and corrected me. I got whipped and fed the same time this morning, because my mind and thoughts were so mixed up, and the Lord first knocked that out of me, and then he applied the oil. Isn't it a wonderful thing when the Lord just, you know, he chastens you, and then he pacifies you. There's the balm of Gilead. There's ointment. There's eye salve. There's all that we need. But he first tells us, you're blind without me. You're poor and you're miserable and you're blind and you're naked. And if you just ask of me, I would have given to you all of these things. And he did that. He's given us what we need. And even in the preaching of the gospel, one minute the preacher's cutting you down to the core, and then the next minute the soothing message of grace lifts you up. And we need to be cut down, because old pride gets in the way and hinders us from being what we ought to be as God's children. We start giving ourselves glory in the Lord. And isn't it the trouble with so many, even of God's children? They give the glory to man rather than to God. And the Bible says there is no glory to be given but to him, and him. He will not share, nor should he, his glory with anyone. He says, take care of him. That's what the preacher's been called to do. You take care of the Lord's people. That's why I burden him. When I come here, I want to take care. I want to share. How can I take care? I take what the Word he's given me in his Word. I use the 2 pence. He gives me what he's given me. I share that with others of God's children. But I can only do that as the Lord gives it to me and allows me to do it. But I'm duty bound to do that. I'm not to be neglectful of that. How good he's been to us. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You know what I found in the service of the Lord? You just can't outgive the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about what you give. It's true in a monetary way. I'm not talking about that in particular tonight. I'm talking about whatever time you spend and you use that time in the service of the Lord, you'll not be sorry you spent that time. Because the Lord pours out his blessings upon us. If you sow a little, you reap a lot. If we sow to the flesh, we'll love the flesh, reap of corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll love the Spirit, reap life everlasting. And that isn't how you get to heaven, but it's how you enjoy that life. Don't we want life abundant while we're living here in this world? I don't want our days to be long and dreary and cold like my afternoon was. I want to be close and feel the blessings of the Lord. I'm feeling better now. Even though I felt like I've labored in my preaching, I'm thankful I've been able to say one thing that gives honor and praise to the Lord who's loved me so much that I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me. And he said this, he said, he that showed mercy on him, he said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. That's where we are tonight. May the Lord bless us to live our lives in such a way that we bring honor and glory to his name. I'll give you one verse over in Ephesians. I believe it's in chapter 5 where he says this in verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. It didn't say be ye followers of God to become dear children, but because you are as dear children, you're to do what? Be ye followers of God. And I love verse 2. It says, and walk in love. That's what we're to do. Love of God. It takes us right back to that commandment, doesn't it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul. We come back to the commandment. And as a little child of God does this, because he is a child of God, not to become one, then that's a righteous act. When we walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Why would the God of heaven accept such sacrifices we offer tonight as praise to him? Because he's offered that sweet-smelling sacrifice that's opened up the door and the way and given us even the desire to do it. And all of that gives him the glory and the honor, the praise. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
$290.